to be honest, like, I think, like, I don't think there's, like, a right career, you know, or a right, like, a right way to live life. Like, people are going to live life however they want to live, you know, whether that's, like, as a doctor or as, like, as a athlete or as an artist or as even, or, like, as a junkie, you know, like, whatever they want to do, like, they're going to, like, I don't feel like there's a person who could say this is how you're supposed to live your life. Because, like, when you say that, it's kind of like, all right, well, okay, if you know what the perfect life is, then why don't you just tell me, like, everything else that I need to know, you know? Like no one has that power to say, this is how you're supposed to lead a good life, I think.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in, and welcome to the second episode of Carpool on Education, Purpose, and Growth. For this episode, I'm excited to introduce you guys to one of my friends from Emory University, Adway Gopakumar. With that, let's get started. Hey, Adway, thanks for joining us. How have you been?
I've been good. I mean, it's been a while, but I'm honored to be on this podcast.
Thank you. So tell me a little bit about, like, what your major is at Emory, if you're taking any minors, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. So right now I'm a NBB major, neuroscience and behavioral biology. That could very well change. The one thing I'm pretty certain about is that I'm pre-med. As far as a minor is concerned, I was thinking, like, either econ or philosophy. Like, they're two very different realms, I guess, of education. But I mean, my high school was very philosophical based. Like, all these classical texts were embedded in, you know, like, our, like, every single day. So, like, I love that. But also, like, econ is very, like, important to know just generally in today's day and age. And so, I mean, one of those, I guess. But we'll...
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about what liberation through education is.
Yeah. So originally, Liberation Through Education, like, began as kind of a local charity project, I guess. So, like, where I'm from, we have the Scottsdale Rotary Club, which is a bunch of senior men and women who get together and basically pitch in certain amounts of money to support, like, causes locally or nationally, I would say. And so at the time I was in high school, I was a junior in high school, and I was part of my Rotary Club at high school. And they were like, so we have to do one domestic project and one international project as our yearly, like, goals. And so at the time, no one had an idea for any international projects. And my dad had just come back from India, and he had visited this one school in Kerala, India, which is where my entire family is from. And the school was pretty much, you know, like, it was like tattered rooftops, you know, mud floors, no air conditioning, you know, like the general things that we take for granted every single day, that, like, you can just erase that from the school. And it was just a singular building. All these kids would go in every single day, like, smiles on their faces, but they didn't realize what they were actually missing out on.
Wow.
And so I was like, I brought the idea to my Rotary Club at school, and I was like, hey, I mean, we could probably generate a certain amount of funds for this school and see how best we could help the community there. And so, I don't know, I kind of wanted it to be, like, very professional at the time. I was like, all right, so we need a name that's catchy. We need, like, a motto. We need a brand, you know, I would say, like, just a general brand. And I was like, I will never forget this for the rest of my life. Like, I was sleeping. You know how at night, kind of like this podcast at night, when, like you're just talking to your friends or you're just lying in bed and all these thoughts will just come to your mind. Like, that was essentially what happened. I was sitting in bed and I was like, something with, like, liberation, like, something to liberate people from their circumstance. And I was like, oh my gosh, education rhymes with liberation. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. So I was like, all right, liberation through education. And then, yeah, I just grew from there, I guess. Like, I mean, it's something that I took a lot of, like, gratification from. And yeah, I mean, now it's a 501(c)(3), which is really cool. I mean, I just hope to, like, grow from where it's at, really. I mean, like, I want it to be like self-sustaining, kind of. I don't want to be, because like eventually the goal is to get into medical school, and like when you're focusing on that, it's hard to also focus on running an entire 501c3 sometimes.
Right.
And so, or I mean, like, I could.
That makes sense.
For sure. Like, maybe someone else can, but I definitely couldn't do it. So, like, I want it to be at a place where there are enough chapters that are, like, invested in the cause, if that makes sense, you know? So, the goal, so, as an organization, we, like, we're in charge of branching out and reaching out to communities, but at the end of the day, it's really the chapters that do a lot of the heavy lifting. And as long as we have a very foundational chapter like base, I think we should be fine. So whether that's like getting more mentors for the flight program, which is like the virtual mentorship program, or just like getting a lot of people invested in fundraising and generating funds, like that's kind of where I would like to see it grow in, I would say 3 to 5 years, I would say. Yeah,
wow, that's amazing. So, you mentioned going to med school.
Yes.
Why are you inspired to do that? And do you see any kind of intersection between this project and this interest in education and the idea of going to med school?
Yeah, that's a really good question, too. med school, I would say, like, the reason I was inspired to go to med school was after something my grandfather went to. I know that's the most stereotypical like answer.
That's okay. I have a similar answer.
You know?
Yeah.
But so basically the story with my grandfather is that, and you know, I don't know if this is the case with you, but you know how there's like one grandparent you're especially close with? I don't know if that's just like,
yeah, no, me, yeah. I know what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like this was my grandfather. This grandfather is who I had that very tight bond, you know, like whenever people see me, they're like, oh, you remind me of your grandfather, like that kind of bond.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, in 2015, my grandma, his wife was admitted to, Nightingale, like the assisted living home in Bangalore, because she was diagnosed with dementia. Yeah. I mean, so she was admitted there in 2015, and, at the time, like, she wasn't as bad as she is today, but like my grandfather didn't necessarily want to leave her there. And so he get upon himself to also be admitted into the assisted living home. And he was perfectly healthy. You know, like he was in the military when he was younger, you know, no cholesterol, no diabetes, no signs of any debilitating like disease, I would say,
right,
when he was admitted. And like a few months pass by, and then in December of 2015, he passes away just like that, just all of a sudden. And it kind of came around full circle as to why that became the case. Actually just like over this summer, because even though he didn't have any health risks associated with him, it was just the fact that like he lost his life, you know, he lost his everyday routine. He lost his, like that willingness to like be himself and just live for himself. As soon as he walked through those doors, he was completely abandoned. And so it made me realize that like medicine isn't just about saving a lot of lives. It's rather like preserving quality of life, you know? And that's something that that's inspired me to go to medical school, which is like, you won't know the problems that everyone faces every single day, you know, but like it's always about like being kind to others and making sure that their quality of life is sustained and they're living the way they want to live, you know. It's not always about, oh, curing this tumor in the brain or. You know, like the actual nitty gritty medical stuff isn't the hardest part, I would think. It's more so like the care that you have to give to a patient.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree.
It's a hard profession. You know, it's definitely like I read a quote from this one book. It was like, if you look at like a neurosurgeon as just a job, it's probably one of the worst jobs you could have in your entire, you know, in the field. but it's more so like a calling that has to come to you, and you got to feel it kind of. And so I think it's something you and I would share, you know, that I don't know if it's a calling or something that powerful, because like I definitely haven't felt that, you know, like the deep calling, but like I don't know, it's something I'm very interested in. I think my personality would be best for that field. But
I agree. Yeah, I feel the same way too. I think about my personality and like what I'd probably be good at, and I think about this, but at the same time, like, yeah, I definitely have not felt like a calling.
Like a, yeah, like a rush of energy just like sifting through your veins. Yeah,
sweeping like, you away. Like,
definitely,
I must be a doctor.
Yeah. No, I mean, but yeah, I mean, that's the short answer, I would say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a long journey for sure. To be honest, like, I think, like, I don't think there's, like, a right career, you know, or a right, like, a right way to live life. Like, people are going to live life however they want to live, you know, whether that's, like, as a doctor or as, like, as a athlete or as an artist or as even, or, like, as a junkie, you know, like, whatever they want to do, like, they're going to, like, I don't feel like there's a person who could say this is how you're supposed to live your life. Because, like, when you say that, it's kind of like, all right, well, okay, if you know what the perfect life is, then why don't you just tell me, like, everything else that I need to know, you know? Like no one has that power to say this is how you're supposed to lead a good life, I think. And, like, it's something, to be honest, like, it's, and I remember talking to you, like, early in the year, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to drink in college. Like, now looking back on it and growing, like, it was one of the most, like, immature things I could have ever said. Like, who am I to say, like, oh, you shouldn't drink in college, you shouldn't smoke, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know, like, what people, like, you know, like, it's just, like, why would you put that on someone? Because it's not true. So, like, I don't think there's, like, a purpose that people need to fulfill, you know? Like, I think people are just going to live the life that they want to live. But I do think that there's a more correct way to go about life, which is, like, you got to be kind to everyone, you know? Like, there's a reason humans as a species were put on the earth together. It's not because, like, you know, like, if kindness and, like, connections didn't matter at all, why are we here together, you know? So, like, I think the bigger purpose is, like, finding meaningful connections and, like, impacting other people's lives in a positive way. And, like, just in general, just, you know, having a family and, like, raising a good family. You know, like, those are the things that I would think are, like, the most important things. Like, no one really cares if you're making millions of dollars or, like, you're making $10 an hour, you know? Like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. How about you? What do you think?
I think... I don't know. I heard this a lot in my Sunday school, so that might be by
Chinmayo.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Rev Chinmayo.
How did you know that?
My dad went to Chinmayo in India.
Oh, no way. Oh, I went to that, like, from 3rd to 12th grade.
Gotcha. Oh, shit. That's a long time.
Yeah.
You're a vet. You know everything about that.
But I just, like, the one thing that they always told us was, like, the purpose of life is not, like, happiness, it's contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Because
so what's the difference, I guess, between the two then?
So they made a big deal about, like, not being, like, ascribed to, like, a single emotion, and kind of, like, rather than, like, being okay, so if you were to be happy, like, or, like, seek happiness, that's an emotion that they see as, like, temporary.
For sure.
From my understanding.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it's fleeting, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. And so they said that it's something that, like, you only get for a certain amount of time, and mm-hmm. then you inevitably are going to feel another emotion. So if you're content, it's more as though, like, you experience all these, like, highs and lows of being happy and sad. But throughout all of that, like, you're able to maintain, like, a certain sense of being calm.
It reminds me of something called stoicism. Someone describes stoicism as, like, you see everything as the same. So, like, you see your mom or dad as the same as a human being that's supposed to be born and supposed to die. So when the time comes, when someone close to you passes away, you were expecting it, you know? Wow. So you're not going to be overly depressed. You're just going
to
be like
that's basically what they used to tell us. And they were like, limit grief to, like, a certain amount of time. And you know, I guess, yeah, in the end, like, be able to control your emotions and, like, not let them control you.
Right.
Which, I don't know, I think that definitely can be a purpose to life, and, like, I respect that, but, like, the more that I've thought about it, I think I don't know that there's actually a purpose.
Yeah, it's kind of like the more information you know about something, the less you feel you know about it. The more I think about life, the less I know about it, the less I feel like I know about it, you know? Like I feel like I totally understand what you're saying. It's so funny we're having this conversation because, like, my friend, who I was telling you about earlier, who has the other podcast, we were talking about, like, just this general higher purpose of, like, human beings. And, like, he was like, what if we're just pawns, you know? Like, what if someone's controlling, you know, like
a simulation.
Yeah, a simulation, you know?
I low-key think we're in a simulation. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, like, no one's proved it to be wrong. So, like, you can't, I mean, as like, outlandish it may sound to people, like, you see, like, prove it to me that it's wrong and then talk to me, you know?
Literally, I know, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, the more I think about, like, you know, like, I also think about when we ask these questions, like, I also think about people who struggle a lot with, like, mental health. And, like, I don't know how deep we want to go into this. And, like, you just tell me when to stop, because, like, I can talk forever.
But, no, go for it.
Okay. But, yeah, like, it's just, like, the more you think about it, the more you realize how little purpose we have sometimes. And then you're, like, wow, that's such a depressing life to live sometimes, you know? Like, yeah. Like in my high school, to graduate, we had to write a senior thesis, which is just any topic that entertains you, just write about it. And so one of the topics I was debating is, like, what's the value of life? Like who gives us, who assigns us value, and, like, why is living life valuable, really? And, right. Like, if you think about it, one of the ways we, like, our life is valuable is by inspiring and affecting others in a positive way, right? Like, by doing this podcast, I feel valued because you wanted me on the podcast. But also, like, just the entertainment we get from this podcast also would affect both of us, right? And then maybe we'll tell the story to a friend, and then the friend will remember. So, like, and then maybe you grow up to become a doctor and you save someone's life, and then they pass that down to their children, the story of how this doctor saved their life, right? Like, just that passing down from one generation to another is one way we could give value to our life, which is, like, we affect others in positive ways. But if you think about it from a bigger picture, it's like the humanity started at one point, which means it's going to end at another point. So it doesn't matter how long you pass this value on for, it's just going to end one day. Maybe, wow. Theoretically.
Yeah, no, that's right, though. Yeah.
Right? So, like, the only way you could think about having value is by this eternal life. And for Christians, it would be heaven and hell. You know, like, the fact that you're in hell, maybe you're in hell, is far greater and a gift to just be alive than, like, not existing at all, you know? Just, like, right, even though you're suffering in hell, you're actually still alive or, like, existing, I would say. And so, like, that's, you're given value by existing rather than if you just die and nothing happens, you know? To tie it full circle, it's like sometimes, like, the more you think about this stuff and the more you, like, just, like, sit and actually think, you know, some people are kind of like, all right, you know, I'm alive, I'm gonna live for today, and you know, like, when I die, you know, let it be. But, like, there are others also who kind of just sit in this and are like, all right, well, what happens to me after I die? Or, like, why am I supposed to live like this? Why can't I just do whatever I want? You know, like, why have so many people chosen to be doctors or engineers? Or why have so many people dropped out, you know?
And
you're like, is everything I'm doing actually for a reason, or is it just another means to an end? Another means to an end. And, like, you just live in a pattern every single day the rest of your life. And so, like, I don't know, the more you think about it, to tie it back, like, it can affect your mental health too, like, tremendously.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Another thing I find interesting is, like, you know, this term, like, masculine toxicity, you know, like men, like, exude this, like this, I don't know what you call, like, this, like,
oh yeah.
You know, like the manliness and, like, like, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm so strong, you know? And like, and like some men are actually scared to just like cry even and just like let it all out, right? Like, I fall like perfectly into this example. Like, I don't even remember the last time I don't want to get too personal, but like, I don't remember the last time I cried, like bawled my eyes out. Like, and like, I don't remember, like I rarely cry. And my friend was like, why? Like, why don't you just let it out? I was like, I don't know, if some a part of me, like as wrong as it may be, a part of me feels like guilty to just like cry sometimes, you know, in the sense like what am I crying about? That's so stupid. Like, just get over it. You know, like that's the mentality sometimes. Like, thankfully I'm in a place right now where like I don't feel the need to cry and like get all this stuff out. But I mean, like, I don't know, like there was a point, like last summer was pretty crap, to be honest. Like, just right before college, you don't know a lot of things, like you leave your friends, and like obviously there were personal stuff that was happening, but like just in general, like, oh, the mindset is kind of, oh, it's so small, you don't need to cry, just like get over it, you know? Like, and if you do cry, the only people who will see you cry is like those closest to you sometimes. Like, you will never, you'll always put on a front. And like, it's that masculine toxicity sometimes that can just like, that's like kind of irritating to see from the outside. And like, I like, people tell me, like, you know, just open up, be open, you know, it's okay to show emotion, blah, 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 you know?
And right.
I think that's so true, but there's something inside me that's like, I think part of it has to do with like upbringing for sure. Because a lot of the times, like, you know, you're kind of just like the smallest problems, you're like, all right, forget it, it's fine, just like leave it and move on. And like, it's just that mentality, leave it, move on, leave it, move on, and it can kind of just build and become a habit. And so more than me like not trying to cry, like even if I force myself to cry, like it may not even happen, you know, because it's just the habit at that point. It's like, all right, it's too small to like think about. So like, I don't know, like, I don't know if it does more bad or harm, but it's something to think about too. And when you're talking about like mental health and like contemplating these big ideals, you know, like what life is worth living, things like that. Like, when it gets to you, some people put up a front, and even though they're suffering, some people may put up a front, others just let it out for the whole world to see, you know? So, it's super interesting. Super, super interesting.
I don't know. I think that like freshman year of college was kind of crazy.
In what way?
I just think there's like a lot of potential.
I agree with you entirely.
Yeah.
Curious.
I don't know. Like, I had never, like in high school, I'd never been a person who like really stressed out about competition or anything
right.
like that.
Right. I totally feel that. Yeah. I totally get that.
And like, it feels so nice to be back home and not be that stressed about anything. And I feel like, I think like in high school, I saw everyone as like, oh, like that's my friend. Like, if they're doing something, like, let me help them.
Right.
Like, let me like be happy for them and help them. And I think like, this is really bad. But like, I think that when I went to college, like all of a sudden I was like, oh, like I see this person doing this thing. Like, I need to do something better.
Like one
up. Or like, I need to, or like, I need to like make sure that I'm on their same level. Like, I need to be stressed about this.
Right. I don't think that's just you though. Like, that's a lot of people. Like, I don't know if it's just a pre-med mentality too, but like in today's day and age, and like the environment's cultivated in a way that like you have to outwork the person next to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so in a good way, it's good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if no one had that mentality, the world wouldn't be the way it is, you know, like progress wouldn't be made, but also like, a lot of destruction is done to the way.
So much.
So.
And I feel like it's like mentally, it's just not good at all. I feel like it's honestly one of the worst feelings to be unhappy because someone else is happy.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And like, I feel like that's a really overgeneralization of what I just said, but I feel like that's honestly what it boils down to.
Being unhappy because someone else is happy.
Yeah, I just think like that's kind of the mentality that they like, I guess, like schools,
sure, yeah,
like
right,
greed,
right. Yeah,
I don't know, I think like it is designed to like, compete with people because there's obviously not a lot of spots for everyone to get in,
mm-hmm.
but I think it like makes you into this person that's like always second guessing your own abilities and like comparing yourself to other people.
Mm-hmm.
When I think it's honestly at some point, like it's healthier to just be proud of someone else and like, you know, help them get to where they are. Because I guess in a way, like I see it as like everyone is doing their own thing and like everyone's their own unique person who's like interested in their own things. At the end of the day, like when you apply, that's going to come out.
For sure.
You're going to see like different people.
I mean, it's also, yeah, go for it.
It's complicated though, because like, I guess the competition makes sense.
But like, I think what you're saying is true. Like when you apply, you know, like they're going to read into people who are actually genuine about it and people who just did it to outcompete someone else, you know? So like, yeah, I think it's totally valid. Like there's, I feel the exact same way. Like it's difficult not to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of toxic.
How was your first year of college? How do you think it went?
It was, I mean, like, definitely semester was rough. Just for a variety of reasons. Rough in the sense, like, at any time I felt, like, stressed about something, I would put that in my work. Like, you know, that was my outlet. Like, studying and, like, going to the library and things like that. Like, I had never spent so many hours studying in my entire life than first.
I felt that too. I felt that exact same thing. I was like, where did this energy to like stay up till 3 a.m. come from? Like, I've never done this.
Exactly. Like, I was the guy to go to bed at like 9 p.m. at school, when school was high school was happening. And then I'm like, it's like 1 a.m. in the library. You're like, what? Like, what is happening? But yeah, I first semester was kind of stressful. But second semester, something weird happened in the sense, like after, because I think first semester I was looking forward towards winter break. I was like, oh, I'm curious to see how my friends have changed, what they think of me. Like, you know, I'm going to hit the gym and just bulk up and then get back and I'll be huge, you know, like that was the mentality. But then after I came back from winter break, like, passively my mindset just changed all of a sudden. I don't know what triggered it, but it was just like, I don't feel that urge to go back home anymore. Like, I'm content with just being here for I don't even need to go home for summer break. Like, I can live here content, like for 4 years straight, you know. Like for some reason that just happened. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because I was more comfortable, I don't know, but something clicked. Yeah, it was, it was a weird flip. It was a weird, like, flip of the switch.
Just because you went home for winter break.
Yeah, I think I went home for winter break, and, like what you were saying is, like, you don't connect with your friends all that well initially. You know, I was, like, I met so many people at college who, like, had the same motivation as I did. You know, like, you want to go to med school, you know, that's already a plus, other people, like, you know, I'm surrounded by people every single day who are gunning for the same thing in the medical school and like become a caring and like influential doctor, you know, like surrounding yourself with people like that definitely changes the way you think. And then when you go home and you're surrounded with people who are like in frats and like partying every day and, you know, trying to like just have fun in college, you know, you don't connect with, like, not to say that's wrong, but it's just like you don't connect with them as good, you know. You're like, oh, I thought I knew you, but then this changed and, you know, we're on two separate paths and it's fine. But I think in high school I was like, look, they're gonna push me to do it anyway, I don't need to work. Whereas in college you're kind of like, oh well, I gotta work. And so there's a lot of undue pressure put on yourself sometimes, and I don't know, it's just part of growing up at the, you know. There are going to be ups and downs, but it is what it is.
True.
In general, a big lesson that I've learned is probably just, like, live presently. Because, like, I'm very used to planning, organizing, and then living for tomorrow. And, like, one person asked me this question, actually, like, and it stuck with me. But they were, like, it was just a joke. But they were like, would you want to know the day you die? Like, would you want to know that? Or do you just want to leave it and, like, not know? And I was like, oh, that's such an easy answer. I don't want to know. You know, like, why would I want to know? And then I heard other people, they were like, oh, I do want to know the day I die, you know, so I can do the things that I want to do in life. And I was like, I find that so fascinating. I was like, if I knew the day I died, like, I wouldn't feel the need to live anymore. you know, like for, you know, it's weird. Oh. It's a very weird feeling. But like, if I knew that, it's kind of like actually realizing your days are numbered. And then mm-hmm. you start living very presently. You're like, all right, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this today. You know,
just, right.
But like, I don't operate like that. Like, I always operate to live for tomorrow. Like, that's my mindset. That's what's been ingrained in me. And so, yeah, I think the biggest lesson I've taken away is like, I should start living presently and like doing things and like focusing on the now rather than like 5 years into the future or 10 years into the future. Cause you're going to get to that point 5 years in the future and you're going to be still thinking about 5 years in the future from there, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, just realizing not everything has to be a means to another end. It's kind of just like you're doing it because you want to do it now, you know? So that's probably the biggest lesson I've learned this year. Trying to adopt, still pretty sucky at it, but like we're learning for sure. How about on your end?
Ooh, okay. Best lesson I've learned this year is probably I think that you can't like worry too much about what people are going to say about you or like what people's like perceptions of you are. I think those things like matter so much in the moment, and then you realize that like everyone like has their own individual life. Like they're not going to like it's really like self-centered of you to think that like someone's going to spend like hours on end thinking about you and like what you've done. And so I think that like,
oh, you think it's self-centered to think that way?
I think it kind of is. I think it's like why am I like important enough for someone to like sit and like analyze all of my actions?
I mean,
like they have their own life. Like they have
right. Continue. Sorry.
No, but like I mean, they have their own things that they have to worry about. Like I'm sure they have like hardships and like things and projects and whatnot to like worry about in their life, and so. I think, like, once that burden was removed from me, I was kind of, I'm like, obviously, I'm still working on it. But, like, if you start thinking about life like that, I think that it allows you to do a lot more things that, like, you want to do just because it makes you happy rather than caring about what other people think about you.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never thought, like, I think that's valuable, like, super interesting. I think I just never thought about it as, like self-centered, you know? Like, huh. Which is cool. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, not to say it, I get what you're saying. But I was always like under the impression like the effort mentality. It's like, all right, why should I care what someone thinks about me? You know, like that's not gonna affect what I do. You know, like and like thankfully I haven't struggled with that much. But like I understand what you're saying in the sense like. Mm-hmm. It is kind of self-centered, but it's also priding, not pride, like prideful. You can be prideful of it in the sense like, you know, if someone's thinking about me that much to criticize me, then you know what, like.
That's you know? True too. Yeah.
Like you said earlier, it's like those people who are doing things to just get back at you, you're their motivation. So like, all right, fine. If I motivated you, good for you. Good for me. You know, I mean, it's toxic for the other person to just be doing it out of hate, but like sometimes your haters make you who you are, you know, like they motivate you. So I mean, yeah,
that's a fair point though,
but that's interesting. I never thought about it. I'm just gonna be dwelling on that like in my mind. one thing that we haven't talked about like in this conversation but is super interesting is like you know, like it's kind of depressing just thinking about like, oh, why are we here put on this earth, blah, blah, blah. You know, like if it's a means to an end and like, you know, just things like that, it can be kind of sad to think about. But then like also it's just like things like this, you know, like by you creating a podcast or by like both of us trying to go to medical school or like me trying to like do this liberation through education thing, like it kind of gives us a purpose, you know, and like that's kind of what like makes things interesting, you know, all of a sudden. And it's like. I watched this video because like my research in back at Emory is heavily focused on like stress specifically and like what it does, like the neuroplasticity and how it changes, you know, like different parts of your brain. And like I was watching video on YouTube about a guy who dealt with like chronic stress and PTSD, and like he was like, and depression, and he was like, one of the things that got me out of it was just finding a purpose and finding something that I really enjoyed doing and just going for it. And it's the most cliche thing, you know, people are always like, find your passion, find your purpose, but like it can be right. true. It's kind of insane how like you just believing in a cause and like choosing it and going for it, it's kind of fascinating how like it alters your perception of the world, you know.
That's actually true. Yeah,
I definitely believe in God. Like there's an infinite power kind of that governs the way things have been laid out for us. But like, I also don't believe that like, oh, he's laid out a path for every single person and they're going to find that exactly. And like, there's a singular person in this universe that they're supposed to find and marry. And you know, like, I don't believe in that. Because I think largely what life is just like, us living, like, this is my opinion, you know, take it as you want, but like I definitely think it's just like an infinite spirit or power that kind of just has created things the way they are, you know. Like it's very hard for me to believe that like science and only science has created all of this, like just the fact that protons and electrons like balanced each other out, just like that fact, like,
yeah,
perfectly, you know. And they're the basis of all life. Like, easy to think that science did. I also think, you know, like God and religion and things like that, they're used more so as like values for yourself too. Mm-hmm. Just like, okay, when you're hit with like one of the hardest decisions you got to make, you know, you look towards that and your values. Like, that's kind of, yeah, the reason why I see religion as very important. It's not so much like, oh, there's one singular truth and everyone needs to believe in this, and if that's not the case, then you're condemned for the rest, you know. Like, I don't believe in like that. It's kind of just like, you know, like I think it was in the Mahabharata, I want to say, or something, where who was it, like this, he was supposed to like kill like his cousins, right? Like kill his, like,
you're testing me on my knowledge.
Was it in the Bhagavad Gita? I don't know what it was. I don't know what book it was in, but like Rama had to like, it was in this war, you know, and like he had to like kill his like gurus and like masters and teachers and like some of his cousins, but he had like a duty to do. And like,
I think the Mahabharata,
yeah, I think so, but like in one of the book, like, you know, like,
it's, or maybe the Bhagavad Gita, dude.
Maybe. I have no idea. But like,
I should probably know.
Yeah, I thought you went since like third grade, huh?
9 years down the drain.
It's just like that, you know? It's just like you have a duty to do, you know, and like just complete your task and move on, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just deep values that I use on a daily basis. I was the one of the two white or Indian kids in my school. You know, and I'm sure you can relate to, like,
I relate to that. Not one of the two, but like, yeah, there was just definitely not a lot of Indian kids in my grade at all.
Right. Like, when you're like surrounded with like white people, like white families, their traditions, yeah, you know, like, and you move to like a primarily white neighborhood, you know, like you kind of, you get sucked into it, you know, you kind of lose that Indian touch, I guess.
Oh, for sure. The weird thing is like, I thought growing up here, like, I thought I was like so Indian. And I think like, it's just like the weirdest things. Like when I went to college, like, it was just like the weirdest things that I would realize, like, I just did not do that or like know about that, like, other people knew about. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like, people, it's even in like the smallest things, like how much like Bollywood music people listen to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really listen to that.
I don't
much.
Either.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know, and I was so surprised that, like, all these people knew all these different songs, and, like, right, you know, like, I've never heard this music,
yeah,
in my life.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, even in, like, small things like that, I was like, if I had Indian friends, I feel like I would have turned out differently, like, in a way.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. I couldn't relate more. Gosh. The similarities that, like, a lot of people share with regards to just, not hiding culture, but just, like, you know, it's just, like, it's not like we've trained to do this, yet there are so many similarities that we have, you know, and like you know, like growing up, just as like an American Indian. And I'm sure it's like applies to like all the other American Indians, you know. It's just like, it's just something you won't understand unless you've actually lived it.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the end of this episode. Thanks again to Adway for taking the time to be on this podcast, and to you all for taking the time to listen. I'll see you next week.